Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Carol. I must admit, I was rather intimidated by the sight of all the cycle helmets arriving this morning, and just thought maybe I shouldn't have asked my council driver to sit outside with the car running. As Andrew mentioned, as well as being a Glasgow councillor and chair of SPT, I'm also a solicitor. And when I mentioned to one of my colleagues in the legal profession that I was coming to speak to you today, she expressed the usual scepticism that you might expect from the driver of a BMW X5. "What's active travel?" she asked. When I told her, she responded with smug sarcasm. "Well, for a start, for active travel, you first need less active weather." To me, this reaction clearly demonstrates two of the major psychological obstacles that we must overcome in promoting more walking and cycling: social attitudes and the more challenging, unpredictable nature of the Scottish weather. Strathclyde Partnership for Transport is the statutory regional transport partnership for West Central Scotland. Its main strategic role is to ensure that everyone across Strathclyde has good access to public transport. Our strapline is joining up journeys, and this of course includes journeys by all modes of transport. Despite our franchised rail network and deregulated bus system, SPT's valiant efforts are unfortunately the nearest this country has to an integrated transport system. And despite the often frustrating limitations of its powers, it should be remembered that SPT is responsible for a wide range of journeys and trips across the region, across a region containing 42% of Scotland's population. This involves meeting the varied travel demands of many thousands of people on a daily basis. In particular, SPT runs, sponsors or coordinates, in partnership with its 12 member councils, the Glasgow Subway, an extensive network of subsidised bus services in urban and rural areas, demand responsive transport for those unable to use scheduled bus services, school transport, park and ride services, including bus and rail park and ride, integrated ticketing, for instance the zone card, support for local ferry services and travel information centres. SPT is also responsible for rolling out the regional transport strategy and for transport planning across Strathclyde. Today's conference is titled "Active Travel and Austere Times, a Golden Opportunity," and what better way to face up to austere times by discussing and promoting simple, effective and healthy ways of getting around, like walking and cycling. As you'll probably hear later on, the west of Scotland lags well behind other areas in Scotland when it comes to cycling to work or study, and we can assume walking levels are similarly poor. On top of that, Scotland lags behind the rest of the UK, which in turn lags behind nearly all countries on mainland Europe. This is clearly unacceptable. The reality is that active travel is too often overlooked when people plan their journeys. And as we all know, the gains resulting from increases in active travel benefit us all, from slowing climate change to potentially greater reductions in the health budget. Active travel also fits the current doing more with less public spending agenda. Active travel projects, compared with other major transport projects, carry lower risks in terms of delivery and generally come at lower cost. When all key health and environmental benefits are taken into account, active travel projects are shown to have a higher cost-benefit ratio. SPT as an organisation is committed to active travel, as well as playing a role in promoting active travel with member councils. SPT has a key responsibility in providing for walking and cycling to and from public transport facilities, including Glasgow subway stations, bus stations, interchanges and stops, and the 185 stations serving the west of Scotland's large suburban rail network. All modes of transport, including the private car, involve and rely upon people walking. Walking is already part of our daily transport experience and is unavoidable. The key, though, is increasing the active element of the journeys we take. Although many people live on walkable or uncyclable distances from where they work or go to school, many journeys are clearly walkable or cyclable. SPT wants to help change perceptions and demonstrate that walking and cycling are viable travel options and become the first option for most trips. Not only will people benefit from being more physically active, Improving accessibility to public transport by walking and cycling will also help improve public transport patronage. So what does SPT currently do to help encourage active travel? Well, this current year and in previous years, SPT has funded a number of active travel projects in partnership with member authorities. A share of the capital budget, albeit a small one, and I'll come back to that later, is allocated annually specifically to promote walking and cycling across the region. There are numerous examples of active travel projects that have been sponsored by SPT across Strathclyde over the last 3 years. These include on the island of Arran, the Brodick Seafront Cycle Path, the South Paisley Cycle Route, and the National Cycle Network Route 74 in South Lanarkshire. SPT also supports WalkIt, the Urban Walking Route Planner. WalkIt.com is the sort of initiative more people are turning to as they plan trips using the latest handheld technology. It is also essential that transport planning and land use planning are coordinated, and SPT is a key partner agency working with the Glasgow and Clyde Valley and the Ayrshire Strategic Development Planning Authorities. SPT's role in the planning process is to advise on the connectivity of new developments and comment accordingly. This includes pointing out the need to provide linkages to appropriate public transport interchanges, to seek contributions from developers to pay for transport infrastructure, and to put greater emphasis on the importance of active travel. In terms of the challenges going forward, although SPT is a regionally based organisation, given the relatively short distances involved in travelling by foot and by bike, I believe that local and community-based solutions are key to unlocking the relatively untapped large group of people, admittedly like myself, who would be able, if they were persuaded, to switch to active travel from other modes of transport. However, a lot of work still has to be done to convince the general public about the active travel option. The regional dimension for an organisation like SPT is in sponsoring and promoting larger scale and inter-authority projects and in sharing information about transport modes. However, I firmly believe that it is local communities and local government that can and should be the drivers of the active travel agenda, particularly through the planning system and in the creation of more footpaths and cycle-friendly road networks. We must encourage local communities, perhaps through their community councils, to think more about their walking and cycling options. We need them to publicise those hidden shortcuts and core paths that are known only to local people, and to press for the improvement or creation of others. Local people should then, on a regular basis, be able to share that information with the local authority. And that information can then be linked to national databases and websites like WalkIt and Travelline. Indeed, I would argue that such websites should be interlinked or even merged to ensure that integrated information on active travel options is always available alongside the myriad of public transport options. My own view is that councils and other authorities, including SPT, are not doing enough to promote active travel. For instance, out of a capital budget of £25 million last year, SPT spent only £400,000 on projects that specifically target active travel. That is a measly 1.6%. Of course, much of our capital goes on big ticket items like maintaining the Glasgow subway and our bus stations, and many of our public transport related projects will include an active travel element. For instance, we now ensure that there are cycle racks at new park and ride facilities. However, the fact is that not enough is being done and we need to do more. On top of that, there is now downward pressure on transport budgets, and like it or not, the political imperative and focus at the moment is in mitigating cuts to public transport, particularly bus services. There is, unfortunately, less vocal public demand for active travel solutions. And as any councillor or MSP will tell you, the big local transport issues tend to be bus or car related. Although both you and I can agree that active travel should be given greater priority, we need to avoid a top-down hectoring approach to this and instead encourage school children to develop healthier travel habits and to adopt active travel as their preferred option so that they grow up questioning both their parents and us politicians about the priorities given to other forms of transport, particularly the private car. Councils must also ensure that they are doing all they can to encourage and promote active travel. They must use the powers that they have been given to ensure that their planning and transport strategies discourage car use as much as possible and promote not only public transport but active travel. And similarly, national governments at the Westminster and Holyrood level must play their part too and ensure that transport policy is fully in step with environmental, health and taxation policy in order to promote and encourage more active travel. Most public bodies are now facing real and severe cuts to their budgets. SPT is not immune from this and is having to refocus its activities and investment plans accordingly. As I stated earlier, our primary focus is on public transport, particularly subway and bus. Subway operating costs are continually rising, and we have a spend-to-save proposal for modernisation. In addition, and despite a generous concession scheme, the bus industry is going through a significant drop in passengers and income, and it is, as I speak, removing lifeline and socially necessary services, which in law it's entitled to do. SPT is then asked by concerned communities and local politicians to then step in and subsidise replacement services from a rapidly shrinking budget. Inevitably, and unfortunately, this will result in significant gaps in public transport provision in the coming years. Well, this all sounds like gloom and doom, but out of adversity often comes efficiency and innovation. SPT is reviewing its whole operation from the top down so that we can be sure that every available penny is spent on joining up journeys. In light of anticipated cutbacks, we are reviewing our criteria for bus subsidies and for eligibility for demand-responsive transport so that we target help where it is most needed. We will also need to analyse what capital projects are the most cost-effective and give us the biggest bang for our buck. In the past, large public transport projects have dominated the capital programme, particularly those that offer politicians like me a great photo opportunity. New bus stations, I'm actually opening a bus station tomorrow in Greenock, new park and ride facilities and the like. It may be, however, that with less money available, both SPT and its partner councils should be looking at investing in more small-scale projects that will benefit the active traveller more. The current financial climate means that active travel in austere times really is a golden opportunity. SPT will continue to integrate active travel as part of our wider remit of providing excellent and affordable public transport services, state-of-the-art interchanges and easily accessible ticketing. SPT is committed to supporting active travel across the region in partnership with our member councils, health boards and other partners. In these straitened times, I sincerely believe that provided the political leadership is there, we can all look forward to a golden future for active travel. Thank you.